This is your last call for My Wife the Dietitian. The show is just about to start.
Come on, let's go. Hurry up.
I'm trying. I can't get my shoe on.
Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information.
On today's show, we're talking with Amy Stolle from Raising Healthy Families. Amy and her husband, Jeff, are not only experienced healthcare professionals, but also experienced parents. They focus on helping other parents create a healthy, thriving family. They're currently on an adventure of a lifetime, traveling the country with their two young kids.
You know, one of our family goals was to just have more of that time together. You know, like Jeff and I, we were totally in the rat race before, each working jobs and trying to homeschool the kids and commuting, and just to have this more time together as a family. And it's shown, like, our kids, we can have rain days where we're all stuck in the same 30-foot trailer and our kids are each other's, like, best buddies. And that's been really cool to see, too.
Amy has lots of great tips and stories to share from her experience on the road. Be sure to stick around for this one. Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Rob.
How are you today?
I'm great. We get to speak with Amy Stolle from Amy and Jeff Raising Healthy Families. And we're talking all about
raising healthy families.
Yeah. And dealing with, you know, mealtime struggles, battles around the dinner table, and picky eating strategies, and just how to have distraction-free meal that's dedicated to eating together more often through the week.
Yeah. Amy and Jeff are on a cool mission right now too. They're basically traveling around the country in an RV with their two young children, which is challenging in its own right, but also super fun. And yeah, Amy shares some of that adventure with us and does some tips based on that experience and how beneficial it is for the kids and the family and this family time together. And yeah, she's got some great ideas. So
yeah, it's a fun one just to hear all about their adventures and just an unconventional way of raising kids, homeschooling and taking them on the road and going from place to place in, you know, kind of 2 to 3 week spans, and just learning about nature and our world and different cities. And it's just such an interesting education for the kids.
Yeah. So stay tuned. This is a really fun episode. There's lots of great tips here. We're all exposed to families and children, so really it's for everyone. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Amy.
We have Amy here with us today. And Amy, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do and how you help people?
Sure. I'm Amy. Thank you very much for having me on. Me and my husband have a business called Raising Healthy Families. And we like to say that we're a fitness plus program. We're a program that's built by parents for parents. You know, we are parents ourselves, so we very much get and understand the world of parents and all of the needs and stresses and emotions that come along with that. And so our coaching program is not only built to get us feeling better, we're getting more fit and in shape, but eating right and taking care of ourselves first, because we all know that you can't take care of others until you take care of yourself, and putting some emphasis on that family time, getting the family more connected. The typical family just doesn't really seem to be there anymore. And we're kind of getting away from some traditional values that I think is showing up in society. And so it's our mission to try to bring some of those back and just reunite the family.
Oh, I love right that. On. I just love that. Yeah, this is great talking to you because these are really important values. And I love that you're helping others. I looked at a lot of the testimonials on your website and oh my gosh, you guys have been super successful with like trying to like help struggling families where they are finding that their kids are disconnected from them and they're seeing that their kids are having weight problems or issues with their lifestyle that they reflect it might have been the parent is kind of like, you know, they're modeling their parents. And so I love that you guys are taking this family approach, like family counseling approach. This is, it's just really unique. Hey, Rob.
Thanks.
It is. Yeah. There's so many people nowadays. Life is busy and everyone's kind of chasing their own dreams and, you know, following their own schedules and their own activities. And it's family tends to take a back seat sometimes because we're so focused on ourselves. So it's nice to sort of shift the perspective onto, you know, family first.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually that's one of my first questions is, so life is so busy and it's difficult to eat meals together, you know, like if you're like driving kids to soccer or, you know, you work late, you have a meeting that's late or whatever. And in this day and age and always, like, why is it so important to eat together? I mean, this is like the message we keep hearing, but why? Like, is there a reason?
Mm-hmm. There is. And you're right. Like life happens, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen, but we find the mentality in parents these days is to not prioritize it. It has almost become like a lost art. So it just doesn't really seem to be that epicenter of families anymore. And when you look up the stats, there's only 29% of families in the U.S. 29% of families in the U.S. actually make it a point to have a family meal together. And I would, you know, quickly rewind 50, 60 years ago, and I would say that number would be significantly higher.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure. And so, you know, there are plenty of reports coming out these days that show that kids who eat with their families are getting higher grades. They have lower rates of mental health problems because sitting around that table or the island, just eating together allows for opportunities for that bonding, that communication. You know, we yes. preach that family mealtime needs to be distraction-free, like sitting there with everyone on their phones. Well, that's not family mealtime. Family mealtime is distraction-free time. No TVs on in the background, no phones at the table, just sitting there for 15, 20 minutes and everybody communicating about their day, sharing about their times. Like there's plenty of research gone into that that's when teenagers just open up. It's a moment of silence where they just sort of say rather than parents prompting them like, how was school? How was this? And just getting those sort of one word answers.
Right.
This is presenting an environment where they just sort of let that information out willingly. And it also is family mealtimes allow us as parents to model healthy eating habits for our kids. You know, like I said before, not having any distractions, letting them see us make healthy food choices. So that's inevitably helping kids with their relationship with food, chewing even. Like it's crazy. Some stats that we've been reading about how our foods are getting so ultra processed that they're soft. And so the actual muscles in our faces and jaw structure are compromised because of it, because we're literally just not chewing anymore.
We don't need to, right? It's everything to speed everything up, right? You don't have to chew anymore, so you can finish your meal that much faster and get on to the next thing.
Right. Like it's like two bites or two chews and you swallow your bite. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder there's so many, like I work with clients all the time with heartburn and indigestion and like, what can I do? And I'm taking all these medications and it's like, well, just chew a bit more and like break down your food more. Cause that's where it starts, like the process of digestion starts in your mouth with the saliva and chewing. And I think like you said, I mean, it's really important. I think the research shows too, that when kids and families eat together at a meal, they're more likely to eat vegetables and whole grains and fruits and foods that are minimally processed. So whole foods more than out of a bag or like, you know, that ultra processed food that you're talking about that doesn't require much chewing.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting that you brought those things up. Like just that we're actually starting to lose our muscles in our jaw just because we're not chewing our food as much. Holy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's showing up in kids and their bone structure in their teeth. And lots of kids are having like almost like a sunken chin, like their chin is way back. And you know, when you think about health, sometimes people say you either pay for it now or you pay for it later. This is sort of one of those things. Like if, you know, we're taking away chewing from our kids, it is like affecting their actual bone structure. So then they are having these crazy orthodontics contraptions put in their mouths to try to straighten everything out. When if we just focused on chewing our food, you know, this can possibly be avoided.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was happening. But it makes sense though. If we're just not using the muscles, we lose them, right? Just like anywhere. And the jaw muscle is a really forceful muscle.
Yeah,
because you think of what it has to get through, right? The nuts and the seeds and the, oh my gosh.
Something else you said there too, Amy, was about, you know, when you have that device free or the, you know, you're just sitting around the table talking as a family at dinner time and there's no other distractions. I remember with our kids when we did that, they would open up, you know, they wouldn't, if we were sort of asking questions, you'd get, like you said, the one word answer. But if it was kind of just up to them, they would eventually one night just start telling us stories about their day or about, you know, what happened with their friends or whatever. Like it does create that environment where they feel safe to kind of share what's happening. So I just wanted to say, yeah, that it does work. We've experienced that ourselves. So
for sure. And then, you know, kids come to depend on it too, right?
Like exactly. Yeah.
It's not maybe going to happen the first five times, but maybe that like eighth time your 13-year-old is going to realize like, okay, well at family, like at dinner tonight, I could bring this up because I know I'll have mom and dad's attention and like maybe get their feedback on it, or I can just get this off my chest or whatever it may be. Yeah. The kids are going to learn to depend on that routine and know that they have that opportunity.
And I think with parents, it's really important not to push, because I think, you know, it's quiet at the table and parents just want to pester their kids with questions. You know, like my parents still do that to me. It's just, it's the dynamic of parent and child. They want to like, they want to know stuff, right? But it's kind of the wrong approach, because you're going to just turn the kids off. You want them to come to you. I think it's, you know, so just hang in there and wait. It'll happen if you give them space.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think with kids growing up, I mean, part of family meals is they're learning their the family values. They're learning the cultural traditions. They're learning so much more than just, you know, sitting there at the table with dinner. And I think also it's really important that it's not a battlefield, like a time for, you know, you have to eat your broccoli if you want to have ice cream or whatever, you know, kind of strategies that parents use to get their kids to eat. I mean, it's like, that's creating, you know, a not a very peaceful environment. And, you know, I see people 50 years later that have had emotional experiences at their dinner table with their families. And now they're still working through the trauma of like, there's starving kids in Africa. You finish everything on your plate and we paid a lot of money or whatever, right? Whatever the dynamic was. So I think it's important, like you were saying, about like just creating a space that's safe, that's, you know, a distraction free, that people can feel like the kids can feel like they can just talk and adults can talk. And it's not like, you know, okay, we're going to get together at dinner and we're going to bring this issue up, you know, like, especially if it's about food and like picky eating.
And I also want to just make a point of mentioning, like, when we say family meal time, we don't mean a Thanksgiving style meal every time.
Right.
Like family meal time, we understand the lifestyle of a family and parents. Like we're talking 15 minutes at the table, you know, having your basic meal. I think a lot of time we get too caught up in our heads, like, oh, we gotta set the table then, we gotta have napkins and I gotta have it. Like mom and dad can be standing on one side of the island holding their plate and eating, and kids can be sitting on the other side of the island. Like that's
totally.
Family meal time, you know,
totally.
Like it doesn't have to be this huge presentation.
Good point. Yep.
Yeah, totally. That's so true. Because I think people do think, oh my God, I can't do that all the time. We're so busy. Like we have this we're doing. And like, it's just, but the thing is, I think they even say, you know, a family meal would be one adult and a child. Like even that is a family meal. At least you're sitting together and it's a social event. Like you're eating together, even if you don't talk, mm-hmm. like just sit together.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Oh, and I'm sure in your work, you've seen lots of like picky eating and issues around like the relationship with food and the dynamics around the table. And do you have some ways to help with, you know, preventing picky eating or having strategies to help with kids and getting them to the dinner table?
For sure. Yeah. Picky eating is a big one. We hear of a lot from our parents. And really, at the end of the day, picky eating essentially just boils down to sort of a bit of a power struggle almost between kiddos and their food. Kids very quickly, early on in their lives, learn that, you know, when they say no to something, it gets a reaction from their parents. If they say yes to something, it gets a reaction from their parents. And so a mealtime sort of becomes a place where they can express some of this sort of power control in their own little lives. Mm-hmm. You know, so much of a two-year-old's life is dictated for them just due to the nature of their age, but they quickly realize that a mealtime is where they can maybe express some of these things. So we just try to keep that in the forefront of our minds when we talk about picky eating, that there is perhaps a power struggle here happening. So to kind of keep that in check as the parent with your energy and the way you're approaching it, you know, if you're sitting down for another meal and you're like, you will eat everything, and you're just negative and yelling, and like every time they say no, you're like, that's it, like I'm not making you anything else, like just go to your room. Okay, well this is just feeding that cycle, this like power and control cycle. So we just really have to check that when we're parents. So just, we always say, first and foremost, check your energy, keep it light.
And no wonder there's eating disorders and other issues with kids. Like I'm not blaming, but that this is what happens. Like there's this, the power struggle, the dynamics, the emotional response around meals. Like it can really affect people, you know, the kids growing up and how they feel about meals and how they feel about food.
For sure. And the same goes if you're feeling rushed and stressed. You're like, hurry up, we gotta go, like just eat this, let's go. Well, now all of a sudden your kid feels that and they're like, what? And eating and like not quite sure, and I don't really like it, but I don't want to get yelled at again, so I'm just gonna eat it, or I'm not gonna eat it, and I'd rather just go hungry, you know, like it's just this extra stress that they just don't need when it comes to a mealtime.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. There's so much more to it, eh? Like it's just nutrition and food and diet and relationships and eating it. There's so many layers, and it's like, it's complex, but it's really simple. Like it feels complex, but really it's just like, we just look back at like how people ate, you know, 100 years ago. And if we could do that more often, I think it would really help, you know, just to, I don't know. Anyways, it's just, there's so much to it.
For sure. The other thing we like to bring up, and we've kind of touched on it before with a family mealtime, is that distracted eating. You know, I see a lot of parents that'll like put on a tablet with like Paw Patrol on it and think that their kid will sit there and eat because they're actually watching Paw Patrol, and they'll just put food in their mouth. That is just, this is a backwards cycle there. This is not what we want to do to encourage our children to eat, is put a screen in front of their face. Background.
Exactly. And we want people to kind of listen to their internal hunger cues. And, you know, if kids are, you know, eating pureed food that you're spoon feeding them, and if, you know, if they are engaged with the eating experience and they're turning away their face, or they're, you know, throwing things off, or they're closing their mouth, or they're sticking their tongue out, it's like, that's a sign that they're full. Like, even though maybe they haven't eaten anything, but kids know their own appetite. Like kids are, you know, they're the best at knowing their own hunger and fullness. Whereas adults, just, we have all these external cues about, okay, this is how much food we have to eat, and eat, you know, as if we're robots or something.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting, but like just putting on a cartoon or whatever and then feeding so that it just, so the food goes in, but, and so it's like we're getting the task done, but it's like, no, this is like, this is how they're learning about food. And this is like, they're supposed to be curious and able to like sense the food and touch it and taste it and decide if they like it or, you know, like this is all like a human experience, right? And the technology's for sure. Getting in the way, right? It's just, oh.
It's mindless eating instead of mindful.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's important. I mean, it, as adults, it's important to eat mindfully because we're so busy and we're thinking about work and all the things, you know, it's like, okay, take that time to like slow down and just enjoy what you're eating and think about it and focus on your chewing and how it tastes. And, but as kids, it's just as important and for the same reasons, but also because you're learning how to mindfully eat as you grow up. You know, it's not something that you have to teach yourself as an adult. You know, if you start as a child and learn to appreciate the act of eating and everything it represents, I think that's a really important thing to learn at a young age.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And I think a lot of times parents can often get caught in the trap of like, oh, she's just two. Like, it's not going to matter. This isn't forever. This is just a one-time thing. And then the one-time thing becomes like an every meal thing because sure, maybe it did make that one meal time easier, but now all of a sudden we're putting stacks on an unhealthy habit. And, you know, it takes a month to build them, but it takes 3 months to undo them, you know, like it's not worth it in the long run.
No, like you said, you pay for it now or you pay for it later. And we say that, like Sandra says that all the time. It's just like a pretty good quote around our house. And it's so true. You know, it applies to everything, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's so, it's tricky. Our life is just so disconnected from nature, I think. And we're so technology focused and, you know, we get in our cars and go to work and then it's just so regimented too. Like our schedules are so busy and we're always adding more, not like taking away. So it's really tricky for, you know, raising kids that have some free time and some time to just, you know, be creative and have daydreaming. And like, I mean, that's such a part of like, it's an important part of creativity, right? It's just that, you know, space to be able to just create, right? And we have to remember that, oh, we got to get outdoors more.
Yeah.
Have more picnics.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure.
That's funny. Yeah, because, well, I love the fact that you guys are traveling and you are raising your kids in a way that is unconventional, but I think it's really a breath of fresh air. And I bet the kids are just going to have this time in their life as a huge memory of like what a way to grow up and just see the world and travel around and, you know, meet friends along the way. And it's just, it's such a neat experience. And I think it's just, I don't know. I really appreciate that. We were talking to Amy, for the listeners, we were talking to Amy prior to the interview and learned that they've taken their life on the road and homeschooling their kids and just needed a change of pace. And it's really, it's been a whirlwind for you, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting there. I feel like we're figuring it out now, 6 months into it, but
it's awesome.
It's been a fun adventure.
Have you noticed any sort of positive changes with your kids in that environment? Like we were just saying, you know, it's so important to get outside and to kind of, you know, relax the structure a little bit. I can imagine there'd be some, you know, you're hopefully seeing some positive feedback from your kids.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They're definitely learning the skills of being able to adapt. You know, we see a lot of families over and over as we move from these campsites and live this lifestyle, but just their, you know, self-confidence and their ability to like believe in themselves. They're like, I can just walk over to that playground and say, I'm Addison. I'm 9 years old. I like Barbies. Who wants to play?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all of a sudden have two friends come running over, you know, and it's pretty awesome to just see them have that belief in themselves, which is cool. And yeah, they're just, we, at the beginning of the trip, kind of each let them pick a bin. And we said, toys that you want to bring have to be able to fit in this bin, or else we're going to have just toys everywhere. So they did. They sorted through everything, picked their bins. And the other night, my husband and I were talking. We're like, I think those bins have been opened like 5 times.
Exactly.
Like, oh. They're just outside all the time. Like, oh, it sticks and rocks and leaves and playgrounds and imaginations and walkie-talkies. Like, that's all they need.
That is awesome.
I love it. Oh, my God. That's a great example. Mm-hmm. Just that they don't really need the toys. Like, the toys were kind of from their other environment at home. And it's just, it's so, things are so new. Every day is a new day. And there's like new people to meet on the playground. And there's new experiences in the outdoors. I love it. That is so interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and it's, sometimes we walk by the playground. If I take the dog for a walk and I see the games they're playing and I'm like, what? Like, this doesn't make any sense, but like 10 kids are fully engaged. Like,
yeah. I remember sitting in on, I think it was my son when he went to kindergarten, and I went in the first morning just to kind of, you know, the parents were kind of included in that morning. And the teacher sat down and said, the most important thing that I want you to learn this year. And they're like, what, 5 years old? She said, the most important thing is we're going to learn how to go with the flow, because, you know, that's how life is. It's a huge life skill. And the earlier you learn that, the better at handling life and being adaptable you'll be as you travel through life. And it's so true. It's like you were saying, you know, like your kids are, this is all brand new. I mean, it's brand new for you guys as adults too, but as kids, it's, you know, it's a little bit more scary, I guess, because it's something different and out of the ordinary every day. But learning to trust that, you know, to have faith and confidence in themselves that they can handle new situations, I think that's a super important skill to learn at a really young age. And obviously your kids are doing really well because of it, and they're figuring that out as they go. So that's mm-hmm. awesome to hear.
Yeah, it's been cool. And you know, one of our family goals was to just have more of that time together. You know, like mm-hmm. Jeff and I, we were totally in the rat race before, each working jobs and trying to homeschool the kids and commuting. And even though we weren't in a huge city, we still had 20-minute commutes on our drives. But just to have this more time together as a family, and it's shown, like, our kids, we can have rain days where we're all stuck in the same 30-foot trailer and our kids are each other's like best buddies.
Yeah.
And, that's been really cool to see too, just, you know, how siblings are. Sometimes it's best friends and sometimes it's worst enemies. And so we just kind of wanted to give them that extra, you know, that extra kick to bond the relationship a bit. And it's been neat to watch that.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so important. And, you know, they're learning, they're really becoming independent and learning who they are and what they love and their relationship with their parents and their sibling. And I just think this is so good. I think it's so good for their confidence and their self-esteem and also just resiliency, like to know that, oh, okay, like, you know, there's going to be little disappointments every, you know, whatever, every day or whatever, but you learn how to build back after that and you develop grit. And I think it's this is really cool. I think what a good way to raise the kids and have an adventure along the way and see the world and new things. I think this is so awesome.
Fun.
I have a question, and it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess, well, like when you're going to a family potluck or say just going to a potluck with people you've met or whatever, what dish would you bring to share?
I actually asked Jeff this because we've been to a few in the trailer. This is a very popular family campsite activity, is to like meet your people and then have potlucks. And it's interesting because everybody lives in a trailer. So it's not like we have these fancy kitchens to like create whatever. So the thing that we've mastered is this shrimp fried rice.
Ooh,
so
yum.
we make our rice with bone broth instead of water.
Mm.
And then we're able to add like our eggs, our shrimp. We do those Bragg's liquid aminos.
Mm.
mm-hmm. some salt, garlic. We do a grass-fed butter. We obviously have some rice there. So we kind of just sort of mix it all together. Sometimes there's carrots in there. Sometimes there's a little pepper, like whatever we have in the fridge at the time. But it's we've brought it a few times now, and it's been a hit every time. So I would have to say that that's what we would take.
Nice.
Oh, Rob's going to make that. I just know it.
My wheels are turning. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like an omelet in a way. You can just like throw anything in there.
Yeah, exactly. We did an interview with a friend of ours it's van life. So she's got like the Sprinter van and she lives in that. She's just by herself, but we kind of, the interview was about sort of how you cook, you know, in a small space with limited supplies and whatever, and sort of how to stay healthy. And she had some really neat ideas. It's, you know, for anyone listening that's sort of living that lifestyle, it's a good episode to listen to because there was some neat ideas that she discussed.
Yeah, that would be a good one to check out because I've come to realize it's not really a spectrum when you're trailer living on how you eat. You're either really a lot of processed stuff that you just quickly throw in a microwave, or you're on the other side where it's simple, mm-hmm. it's basic things, but it's things that you can easily do well in a trailer and, you know, you can kind of keep it fresh on that side. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, there's some challenges for sure, you know, space, especially with family. I mean, the fridge is only so big. You can only, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're, you know, you got a store just down the road to restock every day, you're limited to what you can keep on hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a fun challenge. That's,
I'm just looking for that van life. It was back
like
in
episode
last summer.
74 or something like that, I think.
Yeah, I love how Rob knows the episode numbers.
I got a photo memory or something, I think.
That's right. That's awesome. That was really good because she's got all these different cooking kind of appliances and utensils that are smaller and they fit in the van. And yeah, it was really interesting. Just like dry goods that she buys so that like the beans and so that's not really heavy when you're traveling. Are you guys like traveling, like do you go from place to place like after a couple of weeks, or how long do you stay at one place?
It's about every 2 to 3 weeks that you move on.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm envious. That sounds like so much fun. And we keep threatening to do that. We will someday. Sandra and I will do the van thing, or probably not the trailer. We don't need to if it's just the two of us, but we'll hit the road.
I have a lot of books.
We've promised everyone we've interviewed that we're going to come and visit them all. So it's kind of the purpose of our trip. So we'll track you guys down somewhere too. And
awesome.
See wherever you're at. Yeah.
That'd be fun. We'll save you a campsite next door.
Nice.
Exactly. That is so cool. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for taking your time out of, you know, being with the kids and your day. We really appreciate that you spent your time with us. And it was so interesting meeting you and talking all about how healthy families can thrive. And that's that's where we can point people is your website, healthyfamiliesthrive.com.
Yep, that would be the best place. And then once you get there, you can find all the links to be able to get a hold of us.
Perfect. Okay. And there's like Instagram too, I guess, eh?
Yeah, Instagram and X or Twitter, we're pretty active on there as well. So,
okay.
Look at you guys go.
Yeah.
The social media pros now, hey?
Oh yeah, we're just gurus, really.
And your husband is, he's got his master's in exercise and nutrition sciences, eh?
Yeah. And he was a chiropractor by trade. And
you guys are well-rounded. So cool. That sounds like a good resource to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have done your own challenges with different like marathons and changing your health and just as your kids were little, eh? And that is so, I love to see that. Like there's a lot on your website that kind of show you the evolution of your health and your family's health and also just helping others. This is great.
Yeah, thanks. We take pride in that because we truly say to our parents, like, we know what you're going through. Like those were our moments too. You know, we were skip the dishes, ordering boxes of Timbits when my daughter was 3 months old and not sleeping through the night because we felt sorry for ourselves, you know, like we were truly there. Like, we get it. And it wasn't, you know, we finally had these aha moments that were like, what are we doing? Like, we go to work and we say one thing and then we come home and we do the exact opposite. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yes, so, yeah, totally. No, I hear you.
Truly walked the walk.
Yeah, that's
that
good.
Is difficult to do these days. And I love that you guys are doing this. Like, you're just like, you know what? We got to change things. And that's a big decision, a big risk, but it's good. Like, it's, you're moving in the right direction, it sounds like. And I just, I love to see what you guys have been doing. It's amazing.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. All right. Any other last thoughts or questions, Rob, that you have?
I didn't have any questions, but yeah. Any last thoughts, Amy? Or
if you're out there wondering if you should do it, you should do it. Whatever it is in life.
Yeah, that's good advice.
No, that's good.
Right on.
Awesome. All right. Well, nice talking with you. And it was a real pleasure. And thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us.
No problem. Thanks again for having me. It was fun.
Right on, Amy. Thank you.
Well, that was awesome, eh?
Yeah. It's so nice when there's someone who's dedicated themselves, as in her and her husband, to helping people deal with these kind of issues, you know, that the families, you know, and like she said, they've been through it. They know what's going on and they're willing to help other people with that. So that's great to see.
Yeah. It's so awesome to see like Amy and Jeff really help people with the importance of eating together and the family dynamics around mealtime to reduce the mealtime battles and emotional outbursts. And I like that she said, check your energy. If your child starts to, you know, get into that power struggle kind of mode around mealtime, like just stay calm. And as you were saying, go with the flow and be adaptable and try not to let that emotional outburst dictate the rest of the meal. And just try to have a checkout for yourself or checkout time for the child.
Exactly. We've talked about these things a few times on our podcast, but it's nice to have a reminder and just hear some new tips or just some different perspectives on how to deal with these sorts of things, because they are challenging. They are frustrating. We've been there. We're parents. It's tricky stuff to deal with. And, you know, hearing some new ideas about other people who've been through it or going through it, it's helpful.
Yeah. And definitely, I mean, picky eating is pretty much a common thread with most families. And usually it's just a phase. So don't get stuck too much on the picky eating.
Yeah, exactly. I'm super jealous of their trip too. That sounds so fun.
Yeah. What an unconventional way to raise kids and homeschool and just what a great education for the kids. Like, every day is a new learning experience and new friends to and new places to explore. It's so awesome.
It's becoming a bit more common. It's great to see. Like, we've run across a few families in our path that have done similar things. And it's great to see that there's people branching out from the mainstream and trying these new ways of raising kids and educating them and showing them these different experiences. And from what I've seen and heard, it's all been really positive. The results have been really, really positive. So,
yeah. And the connection to just, they are walking the walk and talking the talk, like what they do, like coaching other families about how to improve the family dynamics and how to improve the health of the family unit. They are doing that themselves by being together and traveling together and dealing with the, you know, all the daily.
Yeah. As much as it's of a dream as it sounds, I'm sure there's some days where it's a total nightmare because they're all in this like tiny little space 24/7, you know, so they've really learned some good strategies for how to stay connected as a family. And yeah, like Sandra said, they're sharing those strategies and tips through their work that they do with other people and other families.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think their kids are going to look back on this time in their life as the best memories ever.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Their information is healthyfamiliesthrive.com. raising healthy families. And Amy and Jeff are the coaches, and they can help you out if you want to look them up on their website and social media handles.
Yeah, they got a pretty good following on Facebook there and Instagram too, I think, and Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days. And yeah, so give them a follow on those and see what they have to say. I'm sure there's tons more information than what we touched today. We just kind of covered the basis today, but there's lots more there. And as always, you can check out our website too. That's mywifethedietitian.com. We've got a newsletter we're starting as well. You can sign up for that on, I think, every page of our website. There's a button at the bottom where you can sign up for that. And that'll be just a weekly update on what's going on, different things that are coming up, some downloadable printable sheets that you can stick to your fridge for good reminders about nutrition and health and that sort of thing. And just kind of whatever else we feel like throwing out there. So check that out. We're also on social media as well. We are on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. We've got new things coming up there every day, pretty much these days. So check those out. Give us a like, follow, however that works. And don't forget to rate and review. We always appreciate that. It really, really helps keep things moving forward here. It helps other people find the show. It's just nice to hear your feedback too. And on that note, if you want to connect with us, and you have ideas for the show, you want to hear a certain topic, you want us to talk about something in particular, anything like that, you can reach out to us on our email. That's mywifetherd@gmail.com. We love hearing from people. We get listener questions quite often, and we're happy to do a show based on your questions. So don't be afraid to reach out and just let us know what's on your mind, and we will do our best to help you out.
Yeah, it's been wonderful to connect with people in our local community with a lot of in-person groups over the past few weeks and getting more ideas about what concerns people have and the questions they have. And along with all of the clients that I am regularly seeing, it's a wealth of information, and we love to hear your questions and help you out with some ideas. And our Nutrition Nuggets coming up next week will be all about lunch ideas and what the heck to make for lunch.
That's actually in 2 days. Yeah, time's flying. Yeah, so that'll be a good one.
Easy and healthy lunch ideas.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we've got a little post on our Facebook and Instagram as well too, where you can, about the lunch episode, if you want to leave your lunch ideas there too, we'd be happy to share those in our show.
Yeah, there's some really fun, creative ways that people pack their kids' lunches and make their own lunches for work. And we always suggest, you know, if you want to eat healthier, it's good to bring your own lunch, because then you get to control the ingredients, and eating out all the time isn't that great for your health. But once in a while, it's always fun. Or if there's a office party going out or you're bringing food in for a special occasion, that's great. But on a regular day-to-day basis, it's good to pack your own lunch from home.
Exactly. So that will be this Wednesday on our Nutrition Nuggets. You can check that out. And in the meantime, have a great week, everyone. We'll be back Wednesday. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review, and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.